This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough, that's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time though? Did Liverpool not have those elements of that team?
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Graham, how are you doing?
Morning, on. Yeah, good. Can't believe the football season's finished already. You know, it's a bummer.
Well, it's about to begin again. We're like 5 minutes away from the kickoff of the new season.
Come on.
I want to just do a quick recap there for anybody who's just joined us. Kenny Cunningham was saying that Neymar went into his shell in the second half when his team were looking for a bit of inspiration. His chin went down. His body language was bad. There was no spark there. It feels like there's been a bit of a referendum on Neymar over the last week, and he had a surge in the populist votes. But last night, the hanging chads went the wrong way and he lost.
Yeah, far be it for me to disagree with Kenny, who's a good judge. I also came in right at the end of the interview. My memory goes to... It's funny how you interpret football. He didn't play a five-star, I will lift my team role. Fine, that's for sure. I thought that Bayern Munich were very smart about how they shared around the kicking of him and the knocking him over. I think he got moderate protection from the Italian referee, but there's no doubt that Bayern Munich, without being thuggish, I'm not saying that, made pretty sure that he got a nudge or a knee in the back or just gentle fouls to knock him over, the majority of which weren't bookable fouls, some were, and he kept getting that. And it was, we won't allow you to be a special player without you overcoming our bullying. And I think that's a perfectly standard technique in football. I also think that Neymar at one stage looked as if it was going to inspire him a little bit. There's a lovely little move that him and Mbappe had, and it ended up with Neymar in the six-yard box, and he couldn't make a proper impact there. He wasn't the star of the show. It'll never go down as losing aside as, you know, the Neymar final that he should have won. Point made. But were there circumstances? What I heard Kenny saying there was that he kind of flopped his addition. Yeah, okay, I'm just going to hold on to my view, which was that Bayern Munich played a big part in how little Neymar was able to damage the final. And also, the one thing that I think we don't do on your show is make gigantic conclusions out of one game. And I think it would be consistent that certainly, I know I've argued on this show, and I'm certain you've filled the point out that there come times when a guy of that age in his late 20s needs to have turbochargers in really big matches, unlike the, you know, a world apart from the several months that the French football spent without any action, a world apart from many of the games he plays in League One. And if you live brilliantly and if you're utterly focused on being the best you can be, then nights like last night, maybe you do dance away from tackles. Maybe you do produce a moment of genius in the ultra-appropriate game. And I don't believe that Neymar, without being an utter slob, I don't believe that Neymar has dedicated every waking hour to being ready for a Champions League final against Bayern Munich. He's a guy who has always had a Peter Pan complex, always thought, I'm so lithe and so gymnastic and so quick and so inventive that you can't catch me. And last night, several of the Bayern players did.
I think in fairness to Kenny, he was kind of talking longer term that there'd been praise being heaped on Neymar for the last week about how he's a much more mature character and he's ready to lead this team. And ultimately, actually, he hasn't quite reached that standard. He's not at Messi and Ronaldo standard. And you kind of look back and is he at Zidane's standard? I'm not sure. Is he like he's Wayne Rooney in some ways in that he's this absolutely mesmeric talent that emerges as a teenager who never quite, despite a brilliant career, never quite lives up to what he could have been.
Yeah, hold on a second, Phil, because I think Wayne Rooney, what top scorer for Man United, top scorer for England, played in a couple of Champions League finals. I would reject that comparison too. And now I'm reassured because I generally agree with Kenny's ideals and his and the way he formulates his arguments. And I think that I hadn't heard this this wave of Neymar's now a leader and a grown up, and I don't think he is. And you know, it has disappointed me an awful lot that although he hasn't wasted his talent, he hasn't maxed it out. And we've seen it before in leading footballers. There does seem to be, you know, I don't want to be too generalized, but I was going to say we've seen it in some Brazilian players, but we've seen it Adriano. We saw it with Ronaldinho, now Neymar. There are probably others. Garrincha probably wouldn't have been quite the force that he was given his occasional drinking if his era had been as demanding physically as this one. Athletically is a better word to say. All I would point out is that Neymar has been in a place where his tendency to think that he knows best, his tendency to think that he's so talented, so quick, that somewhere like 85 or 90% effort and behavior and concentration will be enough for him. And it hasn't. So in terms of across a career till now, I think that there is an accusation of underachieving, but I think it's a three-way deal with Neymar. He is an extraordinary footballer. He has shown us phenomenal things. He deserves to be held up and pointed to as a rarity in football, a kind of talent we see very little. And the third part of the triptych jigsaw that there is that he gets bullied a lot. And I've got some sympathy for referees, and unless you wrap him in cotton wool, because he's very, very brave in when he takes the ball and what he wants to do with the ball. And he's very, very slight. So unless you know, the referee wanders around with his arm around a player all game, he's going to get booted around like he did last night.
On the Wayne Rooney thing, and it's something Wayne Rooney said yesterday, he, in a Sunday Times column, said that Neymar deserves plaudits for the amount of times he gets tackled as a footballer. And I will bow to Wayne Rooney's experience here. As a footballer, it is possible to pass the ball away. It is possible to get the ball away from your feet and still succeed. But Neymar knows that there is benefits to be had from drawing those challenges and from going down, not from going down, but from being challenged hard, from the aggression that is targeted towards him. So I think he deserves a bit of credit on that front. But also one of the points that Kenny made was that this is sort of a self-made thing from Neymar, Graham, that, you know, he jumped ship almost from the competitive aspect of Barcelona, and going to Paris Saint-Germain was indicative of the mentality of Neymar, which I'm not sure I go along with. Like, if I want to chill out and put my feet up for the rest of my career, I want to stay at Barcelona. I want to have Messi to rely on. Barcelona's not a bad city to go out and party, and I'm sure Paris is great as well. But I'm not sure, does that actually equate? Does Paris Saint-Germain actually really sum up the idea that he wanted an easier ride in life?
Yeah, it wouldn't have been my first phrase that to interpret it. I have no question whatsoever that Neymar, I've only met him and interviewed him twice. But one of the things that helped me fill in the picture is that speaking to the players at Football Club Barcelona, he's held in gigantic regard, higher regard as a person than I would have expected, and as highly as a footballer as you might have expected. And my interpretation when he went to Paris Saint-Germain was that even if this was said from the start and has been said since, it doesn't make it less true, that he genuinely wanted to go to a team where his brilliance would be supported by the buying of brilliant, but also appropriate footballers, whereby he would be in the new vanguard of European football. He would win a Champions League or Champions Leagues, and he would win the Ballon d'Or. Now, into that bargain came extraordinary wealth, which I'm not entirely convinced financial fair play has caught up with, even though it's worth recording that PSG were absolved. And when we address Neymar from a distance and try and sum things up, we have to remember that he's largely advised, not uniquely advised, but largely advised by a father who has been too near to him, who likes the nightlife too much, and who encourages his, where have we heard that before? In Hollywood, for example, a doting parent who says to their son or daughter, yeah, everything you think is right, everything you say is gold, all your decisions leave the Lilliputians standing staring up your greatness. That's a little bit, unfortunately, the type of relationship he's got with his father. And therefore, I didn't think he made a good decision going to League One. Not to Paris Saint-Germain per se, but to League One. I thought it was a poor decision. And yet, I think that you can defend it. And I would draw a parallel. He has been, there have been moments in the front play of Cavani and Neymar and Mbappe, or Di Maria and Mbappe and Neymar, where it's been beguiling, where it's been fantastic, where you'd pay to watch, where occasionally it's jaw-dropping. And they lost last night, and I think they lost to the team that slightly deserved to win. But my eyes tell me that I thought it was a high-quality final in terms of quality of technique and quality of idea and quality of tactics. I thought, in athletic terms, I couldn't understand where PSG got such energy for such harassment of Bayern to make it so difficult for them to play. But in the last 20, 25 minutes, I counted four, maybe five, but certainly four occasions when Paris Saint-Germain were breaking on the counter-attack and Bayern Munich, either Paris Saint-Germain didn't find the slip pass or Bayern Munich made an extraordinary interception or tackle. Otherwise, PSG were going to be 2 or 3 on 1 against Neuer. That's what was prevented. Now, if one or two of those go in, and say Neymar makes it or scores it in the late part of the game, just like when he played Barcelona by Munich and was part of a 3-goal demolition in 13 minutes back when Barca won a treble in 2015, we wouldn't wipe out all his flawed decisions. We wouldn't wipe out this feeling that there's been more that he should have given if he'd concentrated in his career, but we would be talking about him differently. And I think that football and his decision to go to Paris Saint-Germain, these are games of tiny details. It was within his own grasp to make his move to Paris Saint-Germain seem more, not laudable, but logical, successful, praiseworthy. That was within his grasp. And last night, I thought that they were millimetres away four times from either winning it late or taking us into extra time. They didn't. Tough titty. But boy, Bayern Munich were holding on in those last 20 minutes.
Graham, what's the latest situation with regards to Leo Messi? All sorts of different reports coming out from Koeman coming and saying, you're the man, I absolutely want you. And Messi going, meh, I'm not sure.
I don't care, to be honest with you, for the moment, because they're still on holidays. And whatever Messi thinks of Koeman at the moment, I want, as a reporter, I want it to become clear whether the two men can coexist, can mutually inspire one another once they're at work together. That's what will matter to me. Secondly, the overarching importance is to the club. And last time we were on here and I talked to you, I said that you've got a year of contract left. Okay, the buyout clause is 700 million. Let's forget that, euros. But let's admit that Barcelona are, at this stage, completely committed to saying to any club that wants him, saying to Messi, you're staying for a year. If you're not happy, then in a year's time, you're free to do what you want, less than a year now. And in January, you can sign for somebody. And they're at liberty to charge 200 million euros, 300 million euros if they want for a player who's out of contract next June. So the fact is right now, he doesn't have a means of escape. Doesn't matter who wants him, where he wants to go. Now, if we go on to speculate how he and Koeman going to get on, I think that's a real tightrope situation. Koeman has surprised me by the number of things he said and done correctly, and not just toeing the line. He said things that will resonate with fans, senior players, ex-player analysts. Koeman has been pretty shrewd so far. Now, his personnel handling has been one of his most difficult aspects, I think, with senior star players. So I'm not predicting necessarily that it's going to be all fine and dandy between the superstar and the new coach. But at the moment, they aren't working together on a daily basis. And I think that will be, rather than just flipping a coin in the air and saying it's going to go like this or it's going to go like that, that will be the proof for Messi, you know? What does he judge the guy to be like on a daily basis? When they speak repeatedly, will it be hostile? Will Messi, which I find unbelievable, but human nature being what it's like and football being what it's like, you can't rule out, will Messi down tools and go in a sulk or a semi-strike until he gets to leave? That would utterly shock me. Really, genuinely would knock me over. But strange things happen in our game. So for the moment, the key thing is Barcelona are saying, you know, hands off unless you pony up 200, 300, 400 million.
Graham, one last point I just wanted to put to you on the back of last night, on the back of what we've seen over the last few weeks and the current global situation, it does feel that Bayern Munich, that German football in general, is in a really good place going forward, that they have a financial model that is sustainable, that is certainly more sustainable than the Premier League model. They've obviously got a bloody good team leading the front of the way in Bayern Munich, which will always point to future success. Is there a reevaluation of the powers in Europe at the moment in terms of the strongest leagues, in terms of how we're looking at who might dominate European football for the next little while?
Well, you've either been daft enough or generous enough to ask me. I'd say resoundingly no. I don't see what you've seen. I think that I watched the Dortmund side, who I think are, you know, at or they're certainly part of the top three clubs in the Bundesliga, and a relatively pale Barcelona dealt with them very easily in the group stages. I watched much more of the Bundesliga after their restart than I've been able to do when concentrating on La Liga. And without question, I agree with you that there's the same type of hurried, athletic counter-attacking. There's a smattering of extremely talented players that I very much hope don't follow. Like, for example, it would be much the better for Bundesliga if Sancho stayed at least another year more, if Havertz didn't leave. That would be extremely useful. I mean, and cast those numbers across four or five teams in the Bundesliga. But if I'm honest, I've got no question whatsoever that right now, if you look at the top four or five and how English football's elite teams are refreshing, what they showed post-restart, I don't have any doubt whatsoever that the elite competition at the top of the Premier League makes that the best elite competition in Europe. If you look down below that, pound for pound, I still think it's Spain by a long way. If you take the entire league, the quality of the tactics, the players, the competitiveness of the lesser clubs, if you paired out one of the lesser clubs in Spain against a mid-ranked team in the other nations, it would acquit itself well. But I think that the power, the squads, the stories, which count for me in great leagues, the competitiveness, how tough the top four is going to be. I think England just pips it from Spain. And the Bundesliga, well, I'd need to think harder to work out if it was Italy or Bundesliga next, even though France, with the way that Lyon and Paris Saint-Germain have performed, deserve plaudits. But no, The Bundesliga, no. Bayern Munich, yeah, sure. And good luck to them to retain the trophy if they can keep that squad and keep the hunger. But I saw some aging footballers there, so I think they have some issues. I thought Müller, you know, wandered around the second half and made zero impact. And if he wasn't Thomas Müller at Bayern Munich, he wouldn't have lasted. Is he going to continue to be an important force there, a catalytic force for attitude and for anarchy on the pitch? Then yeah. And Lewandowski's had an extraordinary numbers season, but I said in a piece of sponsored work that I do that I think he's a flat track bully, and at his age, I don't consider him amongst the elite strikers. I think he gets a massive amount of chances, and I think that he's a brilliant football example of how to maximise your talent. Dead serious man. If you could take an ounce of Lewandowski DNA and inject it into Neymar, we'd probably see an all-conquering Brazilian. But I don't think the Bundesliga is in the top two powerful leagues in Europe. No.
Interesting stuff as always, Graham. Thanks a million for taking the call this morning.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.